Aisling Keane. I'm from Larrick-on-Pon, near Listowel in County Kerry, and I'm a nurse up in COH in Cork in the baby ward.
Fabulous. What made you pick nursing?
My two aunts are nurses, and I have a cousin a nurse as well, so that definitely influenced it. It was either nursing or teaching, so I went with nursing.
Very good, very good. And it suits you, I say, down to the ground.
Exactly, it does. Yeah, definitely.
So tell me, Aisling, I suppose, starting out your nursing career, wasn't that simple for you at the start, was it?
No, definitely not. So I suppose my children's in general nursing, it was about 5 years of a course. So in the last 9 months of the course, you do your internship. So you're nearly a staff nurse. So before I started that, the Sunday night before I started, I found a lump in my neck. And I'd be a very health conscious person. I never used to get lumps before when I was sick or anything like that. So I did have a panic. And I went to the doctor on Friday, and he sent me for an urgent ultrasound. So I had that done, and when the person looked at my neck, he also saw one in my chest. So he said, this doesn't look great, you should go home and come back into hospital. So I was in hospital that weekend, and got a biopsy done on the Monday, and within a week then I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. So I suppose that was the end of the internship side of it. So within a month then, between PET scans and meeting consultants in Cork and everything, I started chemo in July. So I had a 6-month course of chemo, and it wasn't exactly straightforward. So I got an initial finish time for like the first or second week in December. So 6 months, once every 2 weeks down in the Dunmanway unit in Cork. So yeah, I was hospitalised about 5 times during it, nothing straightforward. Anytime you got a temperature to go into hospital, querying sepsis with it, so I had to get antibiotics and the whole lot with that. Lucky enough, I wasn't too sick, but still you'd be extra careful, and especially it was 2021, so it was still kind of in the COVID time, so you were very careful not to go into crowds. You were trying to keep to yourself a little bit, which made it a bit more difficult.
Aisling, you were 21. When you felt something on your neck, was that the first thought you had in your head? Because you think, I'm 21, that's never going to happen to me.
Yeah, it actually was. I was like, this isn't normal. I know some people get sick and they might have raised lymph nodes and everything when they're sick and they go away. But I just knew in the back of my head that there was something. And just to get it checked out, like other people, you could have them up. But if you're anyway concerned, just always get them checked. And that's what I did. Like, and I was so lucky that I did, because I caught it early. I was stage 2. So I can only imagine if you leave it go and go and just are scared to go to the doctor, like it could be a lot worse in the long term if you don't get it checked out.
So from that night that you felt the lump to basically the 30 days where, you know, you kind of started that, you decided, I can't do my course at the moment and everything like that. That was really fast. And that was really quick to actually, you know, you have to take all this in right now.
Oh yeah, hugely. Like it was 30 days and it was just the adjustment of, okay, I'm not doing college, have to defer college. Like pay wise, like to what welfare is, do I go on, or even just wrapping your head around losing your hair, having to wear a wig, all that kind of stuff. And I suppose when you're diagnosed, you don't think like long term wise that, yes, I was told from the very beginning it was very treatable, you can recover from this, you can go into remission, but like you don't see beyond the cancer. Like you don't imagine that you'll be free or that your hair will grow back or you'll be back nursing the following year or anything like that. Like it's like it's happening and that's it. Do you know, there's no end.
How did you feel when you started to lose your hair?
Oh, it was traumatic is the only way to put it. Like I knew it was going to happen and everyone had kind of said it would come up, you'd lose it before your second treatment, but you still don't expect it to happen. Like I was in the shower and it just started coming out in clumps. I remember roaring inside in the bathroom and mom coming in, like, but I was very lucky. Danny Russell in Stowell, he's brilliant, he's very specialised in wigs and everything, and I rang him, it was a Sunday, I rang him and he answered the phone and I was like, it's coming out. He said, come in. He cut my hair, he cut it in stages, he didn't just shave it off completely, he made it a very like nice experience. Whoever wanted to come in could come in, and he had wigs and everything organised, so I had a wig ready to go then straight away. Now I didn't wear the wig eventually for a lot of the time, but he was just so good. It made it a lot easier sometimes just shaving it off and having it gone rather than see it coming out. Like it was traumatic. Yeah.
What did that mean to you, that you took the time to find you the week, to find you the right haircut, and to be there for you.
Oh, it was amazing. Like, you could pick what colour you wanted, what style you wanted. He'd try it on and he'd cut it for you whatever way you wanted, so you had your own haircut. And especially when he was shaving it off, he didn't just shave it off, he cut it into different styles. In a way, I'd say his way was to see how it can grow back. Do you know, that kind of way, I could see all the different stages. But he was brilliant. Like, I had my mom in there, I had my two cousins inside there when he was cutting my hair, and he just made it a lot easier. And I was like, once it was cut, it was still hard, but it was easier than seeing it coming out.
Tell me then, you say you had a very complicated experience with chemotherapy, but obviously you came out at the better side in the end, which probably felt like forever. But tell me a bit about that.
The first couple of times, I suppose hair was one of the side effects I got, and then other ones was like very hard and very chronic pains in the back of my hands and shoulders and straight down my arms. It was very hard to even find something, because I suppose you're so cautious of taking paracetamol in case you're masking your temperature, which you always need to go into hospital with. And I had very bad reactions with my mouth as well, so the chemo used to more or less burn my mouth, so I couldn't eat or drink, and it made it quite hard. So I ended up on morphine for my mouth and mouthwashes and everything. But like, between the Dunmanby unit and Dorans and Listowel, their pharmacy, like, they are so good to try and find ways that they can prevent stuff. So you'd go into chemo every 2 weeks and they'd say, right, keep a diary, see what your symptoms are for the 2 weeks. And then when you go back in the following week, they're like, what happened? What days did it happen? And they're like, okay, we'll try this time, and if that doesn't work, we'll go back to it again. So like, I used to suck ice cubes to help my mouth, and it actually did help. And then I suppose towards the end, I was vomiting before I even had the chemo, and they used to give you medication for that, and we were just about getting on top of that before I finished. But yeah, it's hard. And I suppose every hospitalization, then I had a tooth infection, I had got a vaccine trying to do good, and I got an infection from the vaccine. And it's just every time you got a temperature, then like, everyone's lives were upheaved. Like, you'd go into hospital straight away and you were guaranteed to be in there for 4 or 5 days minimum on antibiotics, and then you're inside an isolation room, no visitors. It was hard. Yeah.
Were you angry?
I was, but I suppose when you're in it, you're nearly thinking more about the people around you and your family and how they're struggling. You just have to get on with it, I suppose, as the patient with it. But you notice around you the people that are struggling a bit more than
yourself. Like your mom.
Yeah, exactly. Like, mom was allowed to come in to visit me in UHK, which was brilliant. And like, mom and dad struggled. I have a younger brother, he was in college at the time, so he wasn't doing his usual college life. He was staying in. If he had any cold or anything, he wasn't even coming home. So it affected everyone, cousins, aunts, family, friends, and they wanted to be good, but I suppose they were nearly afraid to come to you and be with you in case they gave you an infection. So it's a hard balance of how do you help but not make you sick at the same time.
What was it like when you got the news that you got the all clear?
Oh, it was brilliant. So like, I got a PET scan after 4 months of my treatment, and it was showing that it was clear, but I suppose my hematologist said that is a good sign in itself, but most of the time the treatment is 6 months. So I had the option at that stage whether to stop treatment or keep going for the extra 2 months. And at that stage, I was getting so sick, my bloods were so low that they were giving me injections to bring up my bloods, but I was more on the cautious side, so I did the extra 6 months. But you're still always worried. Like, I was delighted when it came back. I had a PET scan in February and it was all clear, and it was just huge relief. But I suppose it's never really gone from you either. Like, I've had 2 or 3 more lumps come up since then, and it's just the panic when you get one. And especially if you've an event booked or something, it's just like, I'll never get to go. Like, it's starting again. I was lucky with my treatment that it was over in 6 months. Like, that's the basics of it. I was really lucky. But anytime you feel one, like, your advice is to wait 2 weeks, see if it goes away. And if not, you're going to your GP and going through the whole rigmarole of bloods and scans and everything again. So
2 weeks probably feels like a year, you know.
A lifetime. Because I suppose I was lucky at the start that I got my treatment done so fast, and like, that I did biopsy done within a week. Mm-hmm. So it is hard to sit around for 2 weeks and wait and see, like, because you're feeling it every day and you're just wondering what's coming next. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was it like when your hair started to grow back?
It was interesting, I suppose. I thought I'd be very dependent on the wig and having to wear the wig a lot, but it wasn't for me. Like, I just wore a hat. The problem with it was, really, you'd notice it when you went into shops, and if you were getting too hot, you take off that, you do get a lot of looks. So when I started going back, it was great. Went through the different stages, pixie cuts and all that. But like at the same time, the hairdresser said, if you want to pop in any time, like, we can style it or make it look a little bit better going back. But yeah, it took a while to come back, but yeah, I was lucky enough it didn't come back too light or anything. Mm-hmm. Kind of stayed the same.
What colour wig did you go for?
I went brown with blonde highlights, which, ooh, I never had before, so I got a cropped one and I got a long one with a fringe, so I didn't really have a fringe either before, so it's nice to do something different.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, for sure.
And tell me this, you know, we're both the same age, and I suppose personally I take my health for granted.
Yeah.
You probably know a lot more because the nursing background as well, but, you know, what advice would you give to people of our age, and obviously older and younger as well? Like, if you feel something, if you don't feel something's not right, what should you do?
Well, you should definitely get it seen too. I know there is this fear that you want to avoid the topic altogether. You just don't think it'll happen to you. But, like, I never knew lymphoma was a cancer that affected young people. I didn't really know any young person around me that had cancer at that age. Like, it was always nearly seen as an older person getting cancer the more you go through life. But yeah, definitely getting it seen too is a huge thing. Like, if you're any bit worried, it's only a question. The doctor will tell you yes or no. If you're not happy with your answer, you can keep coming back, because I know sometimes it can take a while for things to fall into place. But yeah, definitely don't take anything for granted, and I suppose live your life to the fullest, because I definitely didn't before I got sick, and it's made me realise you only have one life, you got to make the most of it, because you don't know what's around the corner. That's the main thing, yeah.
And what do you like to do in your free time?
I do like to go on my holidays, I won't lie. It's a big thing. Yeah, it's just making the most of it. Like, I don't sit around. I just want to do something all the time and make most of your days off. And not everything revolves around work, and you've got to make the most of it when you're well. And yeah, live your one life.
It's probably very special now that, you know, we're here in Lyrachapone tonight, because it is the launch of the Relay for Life, which is new for Kerry, and this is your community. It must mean so much to you that there's so many people out there now, they want to back this and, you know, hear your story as well, as along with so many other survivors.
Yeah, it's huge, because, like, we haven't heard anything about Relay for Life in Kerry, and it was just listening to Mary describe all the other events that she'd gone to up the country. Like, it's going to be an amazing weekend to do it. And I think, yes, I'm a survivor, but a lot of people have had people with cancer that have passed away, and I think it's to remember those as well. And a lot of people are going through it at the moment as well, so I think all those people are incorporated into the day, and it's just a fabulous fundraising event. Like, you could do fundraising now along the way until you get to that relay, and it sounds like such a fun day. It's brilliant, yeah. And, like, the people around Lyra were so good to me when I was sick, so it's just nice to give back something. Yeah,
for sure. Finally, how's your parents and your brother doing?
They're all good, yeah, thank God. Back to a normal life now again. I suppose you used to always have to worry, but yeah, my brother's teaching down in Cork, and Mum and Dad are happy, yeah.
So he became the teacher and you became the nurse?
Exactly, yeah, at the end of it all.
Lovely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, Aisling, and, you know, I wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.